How do you do? Sowing and reaping are fundamental to life, whether it's produce or what we produce with our behavior. We reap what we sow. Moral and spiritual principles follow the same law, yet many people think they can sow rebellion and still reap a happy life. That's a deception from the enemy of our souls, as the man in this story discovered when his heart and mind and life were unshackled. This is Unshackled, life-changing true stories that proclaim the good news dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. After dark, homeless people are much more vulnerable, so Pacific Garden Mission keeps the porch light burning and the doors open for anyone who needs shelter. And since 1877, the oldest continuously operating rescue mission in the country has welcomed street people with the good news, giving them nourishing meals, a change of clothing, and a safe place to sleep, and all without charge, all with the help of caring friends. Even medical and dental treatment are offered free to those in need. Through love and counsel, through prayers and helping hands, lives are being changed at the old lighthouse every day. Like the man in this story, those who are unshackled carry the light of the world to others. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 2561 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Let's roll another joint. That new bag's pretty good stuff.
Oh, man, primo.
I want to buy some for myself.
Colombian gold this time.
Hey, how much you got left, Bill?
Oh, 5 pounds won't last long. See what I'm saying? Someone wants to buy a lid already.
At 2 o'clock in the morning?
Hey, man, anytime. It's party time.
Hey, who is it?
I can't tell. He's got his thumb over the peephole.
Where's the weed?
Hey, what?
Gun is real, Chuck. Where's the weed?
Back there.
Hit the floor!
Hey, what are you guys doing? Is this like a joke?
Who's gonna find out? Okay, now, where's the metal box?
What do you mean, metal box?
I ain't playing games. Where's the metal box?
What do you mean, metal box?
I'll blow your head off if you don't tell me now.
At the age of 20, the young man in our story had been dealing drugs for years. And the thing he feared most had come upon him. Robbery at gunpoint. Worse lay ahead for him. It all began when he was 3 and his father walked out of his life. His path of self-destruction ended when he received something he didn't deserve. This is the true story of Bill Glover right now on Unshackled.
The 3 of us, my mother, my older sister, and I lived in poverty after Dad left. I was always ashamed of our living conditions, which resulted in feelings of inferiority for many years. We had no transportation and existed on welfare in a one-bedroom house in Detroit. Starving for a father as a young boy, I'd visit a kind black neighbor and call him Daddy. When I was 7, we moved to Troy, Michigan, across from a church that owned the house we rented. The congregation looked after us, and I often visited them.
Hi, Miss Smith.
Billy, come on in. How's your mouth healing up?
Oh, yeah, thanks. I can talk better now.
Yeah, it's looking pretty good. How many stitches did you have altogether?
36.
Gracious. Bicycles can be dangerous.
Yeah, when you hit potholes at top speed, they are.
Oh, how about a glass of milk, Billy?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Sometimes we have to learn the hard way, don't we? How are your teeth? Staying put?
Well, I'm glad Mom ran out and found them.
God kept them from being broken when they were knocked out.
Yeah, and the dentist said they were perfect when he stuck them back in.
Oh, God was watching over you, Billy.
Good thing someone was home to take me to the clinic.
The whole church was praying for you. Looks to me like God answered our prayers.
We moved when I was 14 and left Mrs. Smith and our other Christian neighbors and their influence behind. Mother worked nights and my sister drifted into drugs, rock music, and partying with friends. They kept urging me to drink, so one night I did, but the taste was so awful, I went to my bedroom and poured it out the window.
Hey, Phil, how'd you like that beer?
Oh, yeah, it was okay. I finished it.
Ah, no way.
Oh, I did.
I bet you poured it out. Hey, guys, check outside the window. There, you see? I knew it. Look at the foam out there. You poured it out.
It tasted terrible.
I soon acquired a taste for beer, though, and moved on to marijuana, and was soon one of those who partied heavily. With Mom working nights, our apartment became a regular teen hangout.
Well, that was the last wine bottle.
Must be time to roll another joint.
Oh, can't do it, man. We're out of rolling paper.
Hey, there's a Bible on that table. You get it.
Huh?
It's made of the same kind of paper. Rip some pages out.
Oh, wait, hang on. You shouldn't do that.
Oh, we can use the index pages. No one will ever know. Sure, we'll make a big joint.
I'm not smoking that.
More for the rest of us.
I wasn't the only one who refused to touch that reefer, and that wasn't the only way we tore up the apartment with our wild antics. Some nights we had fire extinguisher fights in the hallway. Sometimes we had contests where we punched the closet doors to see who could make the biggest dent. We were completely self-centered, so it didn't occur to me that my reckless rebellion distressed my mother.
Bill, how did all the Christmas tree decorations get broken?
Oh, Mom, some of my friends were just having a contest.
Yeah, and there's a rip in the sofa, too.
Look, we were playing a game, got carried away.
I can't possibly keep this apartment clean thanks to you and your friends. Those ornaments cost money, you know.
Yeah.
You and your wild friends, all you think about is having...
Mom, leave me alone. I'll buy some new ones.
Yeah, with what?
I have a little money saved for my landscaping work. Actually, I was dealing drugs. I started small, selling a few joints to my friends. With every passing year, I moved further up the ladder, or down, if you will, till I was buying bricks of marijuana shipped from Mexico, Colombia, or Thailand. My primary connection took a special interest in me.
What kind of clientele do you have now, Bill? Just students?
Oh, no, you know, doctors, military, all kinds.
Oh, yeah. You should expand your inventory then. Try hashish, opium, cocaine. You'll make more money.
Look, I already earn as much as my friends who work full-time jobs.
Yeah, but do you have a cover?
Yeah, a cover, sure. Landscaping with my uncle.
Yeah, all right. Well, be discreet. You know, limit the traffic at your house. Don't let anyone just pop over, you know. Just make them call first.
Okay, sure.
And tell them to bring a bowling bag or something when they take delivery of a large amount.
Okay.
When you start selling cocaine, I'll give you some tips on how to cut it.
Hey, look, I did what you said about adding some seeds to the marijuana bags.
Yeah, every little trick helps increase your profit.
And I learned how to stagger the arrival time of my clients.
Excellent. One thing that's very important is your credit. Guard it. Always pay off your connection right away. Don't get in the habit of spending your profits first. Otherwise, you'll get in trouble, and you don't want to do that.
I envied his lifestyle, the nice home and sports cars, his apparent freedom. My ambition was to be like him, and by my senior year, drug dealing was my primary source of income. Then came the robbery at gunpoint when I thought my friend and I would die.
Where's the metal box?
It's in the kitchen closet, right there.
What's the combination?
Oh, man, I can't remember. Come on, take the gun off me.
Yeah, but you start remembering.
Okay, the 7... Oh, man, it's 371.
Dead. Okay, boys, now don't move for 15 minutes or you're dead. Understand?
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, man. I thought we were goners, Bill.
Me too. Come on, let's get this tape off here.
Thanks. Hey, man, what are you going to do?
I don't know. Oh, those drugs weren't paid for. My connection's going to kill me now.
Well, can't you, like, give him something that's, you know, collateral?
Yeah, let's see. Maybe he'll take my stereo. It's worth $5,000.
Yeah.
Not long after that, my mother moved, so I got my own apartment. I was impulsive and irresponsible, which caused many problems. By then I was 19 and very weary of the bondage and fear in which I lived. I would lie in bed and think of the price I was paying. Always tied to my apartment in the evening as clients came and went. Always in debt to my creditors in connection. Always in fear of a police raid. A year later, I faced a new threat. Who is it?
It's me, dummy.
Get in here quick.
Man, what's wrong?
Oh, my connection was just your old man. He's nuts. Oh. Pulled out a gun, was waving it around.
Because, you know, you wouldn't pay?
Yeah. Oh, he is so unstable. I had to beg for my life. He finally agreed to give me a little more time.
Hey, you better come up with that money, Bill.
Oh, man. It's not worth it.
Hey, I saw a cruiser going through the parking lot when I arrived.
See, that's what I mean. Oh, I'm sick of the danger. For all I know, some of my clients could be undercover cops. I'm the one at risk.
But your clients have to be introduced by someone you know, don't they?
Yeah, but, you know, come on. Some of them are still pretty weird.
Ah, come on, Bill. You're so paranoid. You just need to get high.
No one knew the despair and helplessness I felt as my life spiraled downward. My so-called friends would sometimes steal my drugs. The emptiness grew bigger every day, and yet I couldn't seem to quit partying or drug dealing. It was as if I had no control, no ability to stop, no other purpose in life. I felt powerless.
Power was coming, as we'll learn in just a moment. For over 20 years, Unshackled has been translated into Arabic and broadcast throughout the Middle East, where the Bible is often banned and Christians are persecuted. Except for radio, many people there would never hear the gospel, as you can see by the letters we receive from listeners there. This man from Syria writes, "I like your program very much. You tell us that Jesus went all the way to give his blood and life so he can save us. It's too good to be true. God is God, and we are all his slaves, and slaves die for their kings, not the other way around." Well, we hope he keeps listening and learns the truth, like this person from Iraq who writes, "I like to tell the world that Jesus changed my life and gave me a new heart. Each one can overcome sin and live unshackled life with the help of the Lord." Now, letters like these encourage us, and we hope they encourage you. To learn more about this vital ministry to the Muslim world or to have Unshackled broadcast in Arabic in your area, just write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your address.
I didn't realize that the godly seeds planted long ago were beginning to germinate in my heart. I knew only a heaviness so unbearable that God was my only hope. So, late one night, I walked to a nearby church, found a back stairwell, and climbed up to the steeple where I sobbed uncontrollably and cried out to God.
Oh, God, please, 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 God, forgive me for all I've done. God, help me. Help me to change. Please, help me.
Night after night, I went back to the stairwell, pleading for God's deliverance and mercy. Then one night, I came back home, scanned the radio, and discovered a program that was an answer to my prayer.
"Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Just as the law of gravity, what goes up must come down. If you hurt others, your own heart will suffer. If you break God's commandments, if you lie, steal, and commit adultery, you may end up in prison, and you'll live in a spiritual prison of fear, despair, and darkness. If God comes last in your life, instead of first, then you won't last, my friend."
As I listened, I thought of a horrible lifestyle I'd sown and the consequences I was reaping. After his talk, he had a time of prayer over the airways. I wanted to call, but didn't want to be heard on the radio, so I wrote down the number and called the next day when I awoke, about 10. Normally, no one was at the studio at that time, but God had plans, and that same preacher answered the phone.
How could I help you, Bill?
Well, I started using drugs when I was 14, and then I got into selling them. I'd like to quit, but I can't. I hate what I'm doing, but I can't seem to stop, even though I know it's wrong. I know it's dangerous. My life's been threatened several times. I could end up in jail or dead.
You're very fortunate to still be living, Bill. God is merciful.
I know. I used to go to church when I was a kid.
Do you know the gospel?
No, I guess not, but I believe in God.
That's not enough. James chapter 2, verse 19 says, "The devils also believe and tremble, and they will spend eternity in hell."
Yeah, I deserve the same.
We all do, because we've all sinned, and the penalty for sin is death, separation from God forever. But Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, once, for all. And being the Son of God who was without sin, his blood cleanses us and makes us righteous before God. Do you understand me, Bill?
Yes, I do.
Now, Bill, without Christ, you have no power to resist Satan. But when you're born again, the Holy Spirit lives in you, giving you power to overcome sin. Jesus took on all our sins, all the forces of evil, and won when he rose from the dead.
Well, what should I do?
Invite him into your heart and life. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And verses 9 and 10 say, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation."
That September day in 1981, I prayed with him on the phone, and my life was changed forever. The desire to drink and party, gone. 3 days later, I flushed all the drugs. I found a church home where the youth group welcomed me and made me one of their own. My life was finally free of bondage, but I didn't know that a time of trials lay ahead. Without the drug money, I couldn't pay the rent, so Mom took me to a mission.
I'll take you to the rescue mission, Bill. They don't charge anything to stay there.
Thanks, Mom. I'm looking for a job. I really have changed.
I hope so. At least you don't cuss the way you used to.
I'm really sorry for the way I treated you all those years, Mom. Sorry about a lot of things, but with the Lord's help, I'll do better.
If you just stay away from those drugs...
God took away the desire for him, Mom. I flushed more than $300 worth down the toilet after I got saved.
That's good, Bill.
And then my old connection came around and offered to front me as many drugs as I wanted to sell.
Oh, no.
It was just Satan trying to tempt me. He was speechless when I told him I quit because I'm a Christian now.
I hope it lasts, Bill. I sure hope it lasts.
After 3 days, my sister came and got me. I lived with her 5 weeks while I grew in faith at church. Thanksgiving came, and I went over to Mom's for dinner.
You passed your GED?
I did. I can enter Bible college in January now.
Oh, that's wonderful, Bill.
Well, I'm going to be on academic probation for the first semester, but with God's help, I know I can do it.
What do you want to do?
Well, not sure yet. God will lead me.
You sure have changed.
It's amazing to me how different my life is now.
Bill, if you'd like to come back home and live while you're in school, you can't. I wouldn't have said that a year ago, but you really changed.
I began boarding at Mom's house and found a job at a convenience store down the road, unaware of the drama about to unfold. On December 29th, 1981, I went to work as usual, hung up my coat in the back room, and walked to the cash register.
William Glover?
Yeah?
William Glover, we're placing you under arrest. We have a warrant for 7 counts of delivery of a controlled substance.
Because the crimes were serious, I was transferred to the county circuit court and held in a maximum security jail, along with 9 men who'd committed violent crimes. The first night, while others were sleeping, one of the inmates dropped a note on me demanding a lewd act. I sat on the floor and shook so violently he apologized and let me alone. The next day, I approached an officer.
Look, please, can you move me to a cell by myself?
No, I can't do that. Those are reserved for special cases.
Look, transfer me to another cell block.
I can't do that either.
Why not?
Look, we can't play musical chairs every day. We don't have the manpower.
You gotta get me out of that cell.
Oh, really? Why?
One of the inmates tried to get me to do something gross last night.
Look, kid, it'll be the same wherever we move you.
I don't care. Just get me out of that cell, please.
All right. But you're stuck in the next one.
He was right. The next cell had a bully who threatened to beat me up every night. I just sat and read the Psalms in my Bible until he went to sleep. I was grateful to see my pastor when he visited a few weeks later. We were allowed to talk in an attorney-client holding room.
It's been pretty rough then, Bill.
Yeah, well, I tell you, it's interesting, Pastor. God gave me a chance to minister to that bully.
Mm-hmm.
He ran out of money for the canteen, so I bought him some goodies. I told everybody what I did, and from then on, we've been friends.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
We've been praying for you ever since we heard you were arrested. God is working through you.
Yeah, some of the people at church have written me letters. I can't tell you how much they've encouraged me.
Were you expecting to be arrested, Bill?
No. Back when I was dealing drugs, I expected it all the time, but I'd quit. I was rehabilitated.
Then why now?
I didn't know it, but some undercover cops were buying from me last summer, so the charges were pending.
Oh.
Then I got saved, quit dealing, had to move, so they lost track of me for a while, and then they finally caught up with me.
Yeah, don't lose heart, Bill.
Okay.
The Lord has forgiven you. Trust him.
I read my Bible every day, Pastor, but I'm scared of the future. Each of the seven charges carries a maximum sentence of 20 years.
No matter what happens, Bill, trust in the Lord.
The months passed as I waited for trial and sentencing. I enrolled in a Bible study and an adult education correspondence course, and for the first time in my life carried a 4-point average. Thanks to jail ministry volunteers, I listened to sermon tapes weekly, and my pastor continued to visit me.
Any word on a court date?
Yeah, my lawyer says it's going to be April 14th. Also says the judge will take into consideration my rehabilitation before the arrest.
We can vouch for that. Did you plead guilty?
I did, because I am. My lawyer thinks the judge will be lenient and give me the minimum sentence.
I hope so. You haven't had any more problems here in jail.
Well, only my tooth. I had an abscess so bad my mouth swelled up. I don't give you anything but aspirin for pain, which didn't help. When I finally saw the dentist, I learned they don't fix teeth here. They just pull them.
So you lost a tooth?
Yeah, but that's not all I've lost, though. I lost my reputation. Maybe even my chance for a future, thanks to my reckless past.
You have a future with the Lord, Bill. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 and 12 reminds us, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." Remember that, Bill.
After 4 months in jail, I was sentenced to 4 months in a halfway house, a $4,000 fine, and 4 years of probation. But there were other ways I needed to make restitution. I went to see one of our landlords where we lived during my teen years. She allowed me to wash the windows of the building during the summer as payment for damages I made to her apartment. Also paid a visit to my former connection and offered to repay the debt in monthly installments. He heard about my jail time, though, and said I'd paid enough already. There was one other person I wanted to see, Mrs. Smith, who'd shared the gospel with me when I was a child. I hadn't seen her in 7 years.
So you're living for the Lord now, Bill. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, the seeds you and the other church members planted so many years ago finally bore fruit.
God says his word doesn't return to him void, but it accomplishes what he pleases.
Wish I hadn't wasted all those years and led others astray, too, but I'm saved now.
He will use what you went through to show others his power, Bill.
Amen. I'm in Bible college now. I just wanted to come by and thank you for your faithfulness. What you taught us about God didn't seem to stick at the time, but God was all I had to hang on to when I was going under.
That's just the way he is, Billy. God's love is beyond our comprehension.
In 1986, I married a beautiful young woman who was my prayer partner, and we now have three children. I graduated from Bible College in 1990 and have since served as a youth pastor and elementary teacher. I'm presently serving as children's pastor in our church. So, that's my story, from drug dealer to minister of the gospel. I can testify that we never deserve God's grace, yet He gives it freely. Have you accepted His gift?
The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Friend, what good is a gift if you never receive it? Jesus Christ died to set you free of whatever has you shackled, and He rose from the dead to give you eternal life. Would you like to know more about new life in Him? Invite Him into your heart right now and see for yourself this great salvation. If you need help in this crucial decision, you're invited to get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Keep this program on the air in your area. Tell others to listen, and let the manager of this station know that these true testimonies are an encouragement to you. Tell them to keep broadcasting Unshackled. This is program number 2561. Heard in the true story of Bill Glover were David Mink, Melinda Bremner, Dale Ingram, P.J. Burns, Rick Dianofsky, and Jack Bivens. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script by Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Write today. We really do look forward to hearing from you. That address is simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. If you need encouragement, call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.